And if you would, take a look at Exodus chapter 5. I want to read the first three verses. Exodus chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." And I'm just going to stop right there. What I want to speak to you today about is the problem with Pharaoh. Because he just admitted his problem right there. He just told us all about it. Moses and Aaron had been to see the elders of Israel, the elders of the congregation, in the previous chapter at the very end. Aaron told the elders what the Lord had told Moses. And he made the signs. He threw down the rod, and it turned into a serpent. And he picked it back up, put his hand into his bosom. It became leprous. Put it back, and it came back normal. Those were the signs that the Lord gave to Moses to show the people of Israel that this is what's going on, that I am the Lord. Aaron did the talking then. But here Moses and Aaron show up to see Pharaoh. Oh, by the way, have you ever thought it was a strange thing that when Moses threw down his rod, it became a serpent? That always kind of bothered me. Because usually a serpent is not a good thing in the scriptures. But then I was reading McIntosh about this, and what he said made complete sense to me, and made sense of that. Because when Moses put forth his hand on that snake by the tail, it became a rod again. And he wrote this, "The serpent is entirely under the hand of Christ." I said, boy, that makes sense. And guess what? It becomes a rod. Aaron did the same thing before Pharaoh's servants and Pharaoh's sorcerers. As a matter of fact, his serpent swallowed their, what says it? His rod swallowed their rods. And he took a hold of it again. And I thought about what Walter was talking about in Job, where it's always been there, that serpent, Satan, the adversary, could not touch Job without the express permission of God. The serpent has always been in the hand of God. And he'll use it as a rod if he wants to. He'll use him as a rod. But anyhow, I mean, that did it. That always had kind of just struck me as funny when they use that. But after they had seen the elders of the children of Israel, they went to see Pharaoh and gave Pharaoh the word that they were given to give to Pharaoh. "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh answered this question. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" He answered their statement with a question. Who is the Lord? Now, most of the time, you would consider that a good question. But the way Pharaoh spoke it here, he is in unequivocally putting forth the fact that not only he doesn't know who the Lord is, he doesn't care who the Lord is. That's the attitude of this statement that's coming forth out of this man's mouth. But who is the Lord is a good question. And it does deserve an answer. Who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh? Well, he's creator. He's creator. And also, he created everything. Everything. He made the earth and the heavens and all therein. He made man and he made woman. He made all the animals, all the fishes of the sea, the birds of the air, the trees, the grass, everything. Even the serpent. Everything that was made by him. Now that's a phrase basically taken from the chapter, John chapter 1. When he says the Word was made flesh. But he said the Word was with God and was God. So the one who made everything, the Creator, the Lord God of Israel, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord. It was his voice that spoke the worlds into being. And he's the one who made everything that was made. And he is the Lord God of Israel. Already particularity is incoming on this discussion. It's not done here yet, but it's already in there in their statement to Pharaoh. He's the Lord God of Israel. But Pharaoh said, who is this Lord? That I should, what? Obey his voice to let Israel go. Well, the Lord demands, commands obedience. Who is he that I should obey? He's the Lord God of Israel. He's the creator of all the earth. He's the creator of the universe. He's the creator of man. He was the creator of Pharaoh, although Pharaoh didn't know it. The Lord rules and the Lord reigns, and he speaks as sovereign because he is sovereign. That's why you should obey his voice. But Pharaoh didn't care. That's why he said this the way he is. And he comes out and blatantly states it in the next statement. I know not the Lord. Now that's Pharaoh's problem. As stated by Pharaoh, he didn't understand it. He didn't comprehend it. He didn't know really what he was saying, but I'll tell you this right now, that man right there spoke the truth, Mason. I know not the Lord. That's exactly what he did. And that's Pharaoh's problem. It's self-admitted and completely accurate. And this is the problem with Pharaoh. I know not the Lord. If you go back, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, to the trouble that began with the children of Israel in Egypt. Because it didn't start out that way. When Joseph was there, everything was fine. But it says there arose a king who knew not Joseph. And that's when the enslavement of the Israelites in Egypt began. And here we have a Pharaoh here now saying, I know not the Lord. Now the world teaches that admitting you have a problem is the first step to solving a problem. Well, that ain't always so. Sometimes it is. But Pharaoh just admitted he had a problem. But Pharaoh admitted it without really knowing he had a problem. Because this is the beginning of all the problems in this world, not knowing the Lord. The world doesn't know that it doesn't know the Lord. The world doesn't know what it means not to know the Lord. There are some who say they know another Lord, but there is no other. There are some who say there is no Lord. They have a name for themselves. They call themselves atheists. The scripture has a name for them, but it ain't atheists. It's called fool. And then there's some that they say they're not sure whether there is a Lord or not. This is the natural state of man. This is the natural state of man. The scripture's clear. The scripture is explicit in this case. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Or no, there is no God. You can take that both ways. Because either way, you're a fool. Whether you say no to God, as Pharaoh did here, or whether you say no, there is no God, you're still a fool. And you're still disobedient. Because that's what this is leading to here. I know not the Lord, why should I listen to him? This is the natural state of the world that we are still in right now. Why should I listen to you? Why should I care anything about what you say? I've got my opinion, Mason, and I know what I know. I think I do. I know what I believe. I've talked to people, Walter's talked to people, and we've compared notes. You get this answer every now and then. After you talk to some people, and they'll tell you, they'll get upset in some ways, some of them will, and they'll say, my God doesn't do that, or my God wouldn't do that, or my God doesn't act that way. They're exactly right. Their God doesn't. But the God of the Bible does. The God of the Bible commanded Pharaoh to let his people go, and Pharaoh said, I don't know. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I don't know the Lord. He was exactly right and exactly wrong at the same time. It doesn't matter what the world says. We have the testimony of God right here before us in black and white. He has preserved his word for us, translated into English, so that we can read it. Anyone can read it who can read. The largest selling book in the world is the Bible. But the Bible doesn't make Christians. The Bible doesn't make believers. God does. Christ does. The Spirit does. But this is the problem with Pharaoh. I know not the Lord. And because of that, there are results. There are always results. We've been talking about it a bit. Doctrine, true doctrine, the truth of Jesus Christ leads to a walk in Christ. Knowing the truth of Christ encourages, endeavors, and you want to walk with him. But the other point is this, the juxtaposition is this. Pharaoh's doctrine leads to Pharaoh's actions. It's out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. What's in your heart abundantly? Pharaoh just told us here. I know not the Lord. And guess what? I'm not going to do what he says. The results of not knowing the Lord is rebellion against God. The results of this world not knowing God is rebellion against God, his word, and his Christ. This is the result of every single unbeliever. This is the result of the world's problem, not only Pharaoh's problem. I will not do as the Lord commands. Rebellion. In Acts 4:26, they put it this way. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. And they were gathered together against his holy child Jesus, whom thou anointed. But he doesn't leave it there. Verse 28. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. No matter what the plan of men, no matter the purpose of men, no matter the hardness of any man's heart, the Lord's hand and the Lord's counsel stands. That's what we're going to see here. You'll see here with Pharaoh if you keep reading. His counsel shall stand. I shall do all my pleasure. Our Lord is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. This book, this Bible, is a book of the works of the Lord. His work. It shows the actions of men. It shows the rebellion of men. It shows their denial of God. And it shows God's treatment for their denial. But it always shows whatever the Lord said happens in every case. Before they ever got here, this is one of the big things of free will. Oh, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Well, yeah, it says he did. But if you look back in verse 3, before he ever got there and ever spoke to Pharaoh, and the Lord said unto Moses, this is verse 21 of chapter 3 of Exodus, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou doest all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Before Moses ever got to Pharaoh, God said, I'm going to harden his heart. Then you'll look and it says, and the Lord hardened his heart as he said. After that, it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. There's no lack of responsibility for rebellion against God. There's no lack of responsibility. That's it. You understand? Pharaoh did exactly what Pharaoh wanted to do. And Pharaoh did exactly what God wanted him to do. There is no schism. There is no, oh my God, he made Pharaoh bad after. No. It's this. Pharaoh did what Pharaoh did.
And Pharaoh was very happy to do it for a while.
I was very happy in my life before Christ met me. Sure, everything wasn't perfect, but I had no knowledge of a lack. I had no care of a lack. I was going my own way, so I thought. Yes, there are vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Walter said it this morning on the radio. There are vessels afore prepared unto glory. But that doesn't clear the vessel. Who are you that repliest against God? Pharaoh did exactly what he wanted to do. Why? Because I know not the Lord. And he didn't want to know the Lord God of Israel. Psalm 76 and verse 10 said, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. So after Pharaoh's confession, Moses replied, and they said, the God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. The Lord, whom Pharaoh doesn't know, is referred to here as the God of the Hebrews. The Lord is our God. The God of the Hebrews. What does this mean? Well, in the negative sense, this means that the Lord is not the God of the Egyptians. He's not the God of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites. He's not the God of the Jebusites. He's the God of the Hebrews. That's what it means. And the Lord is going to show this to Pharaoh. Anytime the Lord speaks of his people, he's leaving someone out. There's a separation. There's a division between my people and the people who are not my people. In Exodus 8 and verse 23, and I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. That's what he said before one of the plagues. Because it was going to fall on the Egyptians, but it was not going to fall on the Hebrews. It was going to fall on the Egyptians, but it was not going to fall on the Israelites. And the only reason why? I'm making the division. I will put a division between my people and thy people. That's the word of God. That's the word of the Lord God. I will put a division. He always has, and he always will. And he does right now. Who maketh thee to differ? What do you have that you have not received? I will put a division. He is the Lord. He is God. He is the Lord God. Yahweh Elohim. He is over all and never anything less than the Lord God. However, he has, and it's stated, I talked about it before, he has a regard for the children of Israel. He has a regard for his people. There's a psalm where it says, let's praise the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise his holy name. Praise the King. It says he's king over all the earth. But here he says, I'm the God of the Hebrews. I'm the God of the Hebrews. And he met with us. Moses and Aaron. The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. We didn't meet with him. He met with us. Moses and Aaron were not looking for him. Neither one of them. Aaron was with the children of Israel. Moses was in the backside of the wilderness. Moses and Aaron were both being sheep. They were both astray. They were busy. The Lord met with them. The Lord told Moses that Aaron was coming to meet him. That's in verse 14 of chapter 3. He says, and I know, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. That's verse 14. Then you look at verse 27, and it says, and the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and he met him in the mount of God and he kissed him. So he's telling Moses, Aaron's coming to meet you. Well, then he tells Aaron, go meet Moses. Who do you think's in charge of this thing? Who's running this show? Who is sovereign here? He had Moses exactly where he wanted Moses, and he brought Aaron exactly where he wanted him. And guess where they met? In the Mount of God. In the Mount of God. And kissed him. Aaron, type of the high priest, kissed Moses, a type of the deliverer or a type of the law, whichever way you want it. There's no schism between law and grace. They both have their purpose, their true purpose. And they meet together in Christ. It's not a fight between law and grace. It's the plan of God. Who is running this account? Who is running this encounter? Who is running this world? It ain't you. It ain't me. It ain't Pharaoh. It's the Lord God of Israel, the God of the Hebrews. Pharaoh spoke the truth here. And Pharaoh spoke from his heart. This is how he really felt. Sure, it's an evil heart of unbelief. But he spoke the truth. Because like I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Then Pharaoh went on to prove his words. He would not let Israel go until the Lord made him let them go. The Lord said, I'm going to fix it so that he is going to thrust you out. You want a point there? Sometimes the world separates you. We're bad for sometimes hanging around places we shouldn't, Walter. We don't know sometimes what places are actually like. I think back to New Zion. And what would have happened if Fred hadn't been so hard-headed? We were thrust out. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me, Mason. I didn't feel that way at the time. But it led to meeting you and Earl and others who believe the truth, who love the truth, who hear the truth. You know, there come a time when Pharaoh says, go. And he's just as truthful and heartfelt about that as he was about, I know not the Lord, and he still didn't know the Lord. But he had felt the Lord's power with the death of the firstborn, his own firstborn. But I do have a reason for preaching this today, because I think there is a message here for believers. Because I want you to know this. This was the way of the world. And this still is the way of the world. There is a reason for the all sorts of evil in this world. And this is the reason: I know not the Lord. Yes, there's the natural depravity of man. There is. I am depraved still, but I know the Lord. The world doesn't know him. And that's the reason for the world being in the state it's in. I don't want it to surprise you. This is the reason, knowing not the Lord, for the hatred of Christ Jesus and the Father. This is the reason for all manner of error, all manner of heresy, and all manner of blasphemy, and all manner of just outright wickedness. Amen. Evil. I know not the Lord. That's the problem. And I said all that to say this. If you're a believer, don't be too surprised when it seems the world is, quote, going to hell in a handbasket. Well, it is. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. This is the world we live in. Paul wrote that a couple thousand years ago. The world has not got any better. It's not getting any better. Matter of fact, I'm hoping pretty soon he's going to start wrapping this thing up. You know, the unrest in the Middle East that I predicted came true. Don't look to the world. Look to Christ. Amen. Don't look to the world. Don't look to politicians. Don't look to so-called religious leaders. Or don't look to scientists to make sense of anything in this world. It's here in this book. This book is true and every man's a liar. God is true and every man's a liar. This is his book. This is his word. But don't look for them to make sense of anything, because here's the point. Even when they're right, they're wrong. I mean, this is the beauty of this thing. I mean, it amuses the irony in me, you know? To where they can be exactly right about something and exactly wrong at the same time. That's the depravity of man. Even when you're right, you're wrong. But God is always right. And the God of all the earth, the judge of all the earth, shall do right. Whatever they're doing, and boy are they doing, don't forget this. They are doing by thy counsel, whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. He is king over all the earth. He is sovereign over all the earth. He's the God of the Hebrews. He's the Lord God of the children of Israel. He's the head of the church, his body. He's king over all the earth. Nothing is happening that he has not planned. That should be a comfort to us. It's a comfort to me. Sometimes it's the only thing that keeps me from shooting my television. He is in control. God's arm is not short that it cannot save. His counsel shall stand, and he is doing all his pleasure. The Middle East looks like a mess to me, but it doesn't matter what it looks like to me or to you, because know this, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And as for Pharaoh's behavior and Pharaoh's end, Exodus 9 and verse 16 put it this way, and in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up. For, he didn't stop there, to show in thee my power, to manifest my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. So, there's the question. Do you know the Lord? Pharaoh didn't and said he didn't. And perished. Do you know the one in control? If you do, trust him. He's working everything out according to the counsel of his will. You know, my will never mattered. It still doesn't matter. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Christ said, pray that. Pray thy will, his will, God's will, the Lord God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's going to be. Pray for it. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this time and this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've done. For what you're doing and we don't even know. For what you're doing and we do know. Thank you. God, help us to take comfort in your word and in you. Because Christ has purchased all for us. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen.